Hello everybody, I'm George Milan. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. And this is commenting on the fact that Jim Wallace is dead. Lord Wallace of Tankerness, I hope I pronounced that correctly, was called to his reward. He was pronounced dead yesterday morning. And the news broke yesterday about lunchtime. Anyway, so James Robert Wallace, that was his birth name, has died at the age of 75. Now, surely the zenith of his career was meeting me. It was in the summer of 2001, maybe the sort of Easter holidays, late April, something like that. And there I was in North Britain, Eldriki, on Macdonald Road. Funnily enough, I was on my way to a meeting of the Scottish Socialist Party. I'm surely the only right winger who's ever been to a meeting of the Scottish Socialist Party. I'm a very, very broad-minded person. I go out of my way to acquaint myself with countervailing views and to always interrogate my bedrock beliefs. There at Macdonald Road, it happens to be opposite the school where the meeting was taking place, the headquarters of the Liberal Democrats Party in Caledonia. And then that bright evening, stepping out of a black taxi, was some of the guys. Excuse me, are you Jim Wallace? I am Jim Wallace, he said. And he was short, chirpy, how can I put it? You know, chipper sort of person. Jovial struck me, energetic, and he hurried off towards that building. And that is my one interaction with him. So anyway, so he came from a small town of Annan in Dumfriesshire, the sort of southwest corner of Scotland. Although he's sometimes talking about Annandale, as in the Annan has got that river that flows through it, Dale, as in a river. So he grew up in sort of deep in the countryside, and he was always fascinated by politics. He was an autograph hunter. That was a thing to do in the 1950s when he was small. So grew up in a family without much wealth or anything like that. And he also met Tam Dyel, that Labour MP, what was it called? West Lothian, who read the West Lothian question. I met Tam Dyel as well many, many years ago when he came to address was at the Shelley Society at Eton, one of only two Aldertonian Labour MPs at the time, the other one being Mark Fisher. So Jim Wallace went to the local state school and he went to Downing College, Cambridge, apparently the only person from his school ever to go to Cambridge. And some people say, oh, well, you're saying Scotland isn't good enough for you, and so on. So he always rejected separatism. He very much believed in the oneness of the United Kingdom whilst recognising Scottish particularism and thinking that that ought to be constitutionally recognised. So he read economics and law. He graduated. He took a second degree in Scots law at the University of Edinburgh, and he was called to the bar as an advocate. So that's a barrister in North Britain. So he tended to practice in civil law. So he joined the Liberal Party as one of the 1970s under the bravura leadership of Jeremy Thorpe. And although, you know, Scotland at the time had not even 20% of the UK population, had something like 40% of the Liberal MPs. For some reason, liberalism was stronger there and in southwest England. Why? The Celtic fringe is because Gladstone was North British. I'm not sure why. They believed in home rule, not separatism, long before it was fashionable. They were Europhiles. I remember reading some liberals saying, we're not to the left or right of other parties, we're ahead of other parties. We go the others lead. But anyway, and they thought they'd be on the verge of a major breakthrough in 1974. I mean, they got 19% of the vote, but they only got 14 seats, which I know was their best result since the 1930s. But it was still like about a tenth of what Thorpe had been telling his sugar daddy, Jack Hayward, they were going to get. Anyhow, so in 1979, he stood as a Liberal candidate. That is Jim Wallace in Dumfriesshire, winning only 14% of the vote, coming third. And really, they're on a hiding, nothing to do, is doing that. But anyway, then he stood for the European Parliament. And 1979 was the first time members of the European Parliament were elected. Prior to then, they'd been nominated by national parliaments. So he was elected for Southern Scotland and he went to Strasbourg to sit in the European Parliament. But methinks it used to, well, still rotates actually between Brussels and Strasbourg. And that was, by then they had David Steele, another North Briton who was leader of the party. Joe Grimond, also a Scotsman, had leader of the party sometime earlier. So anyway, Wallace got himself selected as Orkney and Shetland when Joe Grimond decided to retire from the House of Commons. So, so then he was elected for that seat and he served there for 18 years, the most northerly constituency in the realm. So he tried to Well, be elected leader of the Liberal Democrats in Scotland, and indeed he was elected in 1992. So he was made a QC, and he long advocated for the re-establishment of the Scots Parliament, and indeed that happened, and blah blah blah. So and then he was elected as a member of the Scottish Parliament. He briefly doubled job, being an MP and member of the Scottish Parliament, and got the full salary despite only sort of doing half a job each time. So he had the dual mandate. The current First Minister of Scotland, John Swinney, was one of those. Okay, so then he stepped aside from Westminster in 2001. Methinks it's not allowed. Remember the old days, John, you had a triple mandate, elected to the Northern Ireland Assembly and Westminster and Strasbourg. So then Labour didn't get a majority in the first election to Holyrood, so they formed a coalition of the Liberal Democrats. So Donald Dewar, the leader of the Labour Party in Scotland, he became First Minister, and Jim Wallace, the leader of the Liberal Democrats, became Deputy First Minister, and that was the coalition. So I think the Liberal Democrats were always in favour of. Say that's the way it works in the European Parliament, that's the way it works in local authorities. Come on, politics shouldn't be that adversarial. We all have good ideas, we all have bad ideas. And honourable compromise is the best way to thrash this out. So you see there that muddled middle. Anyway, but they obviously had to abandon some of their policies, and they were accused of being a Judas for that one. Okay, he even had to be acting First Minister when Donald Dewar was very, very ill, and indeed he died in 2000, and one. It was in 2000 Donald Dewar died, and then Henry McLeish took over. He didn't last very long. That is him. Anyway, he stood down in 2005 as Deputy First Minister, remaining on as member of the Scottish Parliament for his Orkney constituency, and he left that. So, I mean, he was an active Christian. Despite that, he was a totally evil and immoral man. Maybe I should have made this point. So, he married in 1983, so relatively late in life. He married at 39. Those days that wouldn't be considered. These days it wouldn't be considered late, and that they were blessed with a brace of children. But he was an evil, evil bastard, and he was a terrible danger to children. Like, I mean, almost all Liberal Democrats, or indeed most politicians. And yet he had this sort of cuddly, harmless image, almost like a sort of grinning idiot. Now, say a lot of things about him. He wasn't stupid. He was actually very smart. So we can't excuse him on the grounds of imbecility. But he always got such an easy ride for the media. They never called him out for the evil that he wrought, for the cruelty, for the violence that he commissioned. And people like this should be brought to account. And then the newspapers are filled with tributes to him. The obituaries are almost universally laudatory. And people aren't lacerating him, remembering him as someone who's absolutely evil, who, you know, was, how to put it, hosta humani generis, ought to be just. We ought to have just the erasure of his memory. And it is heartbreaking that someone like him was never brought to justice, got away with his sickening crimes in his lifetime. And he was just loaded with honours. And you see how evil is always so lavishly rewarded. And there is no justice for people like him. He was not given the punishment that he so thoroughly deserved. Well, it makes my blood boil.